Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 10, and that in your pew Bible is page 1178. Page 1178. Entitled The Whole Armour of God. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand there, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his word. Seem to have missed, not got the order correct. I think we've already sung, have we? Maybe not. Are we still to sing Psalm 144? We've sung Psalm 144, yes? Yes, okay. So we're on to the word. Bless you, thank you. Once you retire, you're not doing this job all the time, and therefore it takes a while to get your mind back in gear. It's nice to be retired, but it's you know, when I was in Fort William, it was a sermon every Sunday morning, sermon every Sunday evening, a prayer meeting every Wednesday, and you're in it and you're doing it all the time. But once you retire, you find that you're not doing these things in the same way that you did before you retired. So, the title of our sermon this morning is The Christian Life is a Battle, and we've already touched on that. I love the introduction, I love the greeting that Paul gives to these believers in Ephesus in Ephesians 1, verse 2. He said, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And that will be my sentiment to you this morning. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes that we as believers are in a battle against the evil one. So this morning, we're going to ask and seek to answer the following questions. If we're in a battle, what is the context and nature of the battle? Who is the enemy? What are his strategies? And what resources do we have for defence, attack, and ultimate victory? So what is the context and nature of the battle? Jesus taught, and many passages of Scripture affirm, that we're involved in a cosmic battle. The realm in which spiritual blessings are received is also the location of an ongoing battle between good and evil. There's absolutely no room for apathy. Having come to faith in the Lord Jesus, we're in the front line of this battle, and we need to walk in a way that is worthy of our calling in Christ. I remember when I was baptized in January 1987, and as I came up out of the waters of baptism, I never felt cleaner. And I was just so full of joy in the Lord at having come to faith. I was age 34 at the time. So full of joy in the Lord. And it was just the most amazing feeling. And then a week passed and another week passed, and the world started to crowd in again. And the attacks came in a very real way from the enemy. And I remember going along to our minister at the time, a chap called Raymond Arnold, and said to him, you know, this is what's happening. And he said, David, yes, of course it's happening. Because now you're spiritually aware, now you're awake. Now you know what's going on, and you have a better idea of who the enemy is. And so then we prayed together. We talked about how to defend ourselves against the attacks of the evil one. And we prayed together. And I thank God for Raymond on that occasion. So we need to be able to keep our feet and to stand against the devil's schemes. The devil needs to be detected and resisted. And this battle's going on all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. It manifests itself often in the ordinary routines of life. As believers, we're being sanctified as we grow to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the evil one, the devil, seeks to defeat us in the daily routines of life. So we need to be very careful not to give him a foothold. Ephesians 4:27. We need to be conscious of his strategies. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were not attempting extraordinary spiritual work for God when the devil, the serpent, and this is a quote, tracked them down and tripped them up. It was in the everyday mundane activities that the devil made his attack. This couple had the very best of all of God's basic provision for them. And yet the devil set them at odds with God and at odds with each other. If you read Genesis 3:1 following. So we need to be aware. In our marriages, in our parent-child relationships, our daily working and daily living environments, we need to realise that we're not just dealing with flesh and blood. Rather, we need to recognise we're dealing with rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers for evil. We must be aware that the battle that rages within and without, we must be aware of it. We can't switch on our television sets. I'll read a newspaper without being aware. Although we're sinners saved by grace, and this is another quote from a well-known commentator, he writes, there's still a Trojan horse of sin within us, which the devil seeks to use to bring us down. Sometimes we have opportunity to sin, but we lack any inner compulsion to pursue that opportunity. At other times, we can experience an inner compulsion, but opportunity is not there, and we're providentially protected by God. But when temptation, opportunity, and desire coincide, then it's all we can do to stand. The devil knows our weaknesses. Indeed, if we are to stand, we need to stand firm in our faith. It is in God's strength and his strength alone that we're able to stand. King David, who was described as a man after God's own heart, experienced one notable situation where temptation, opportunity, and desire coincided. 2 Samuel 11, verses 1-4. It It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. We can't rely on our own resources to defeat the devil. David had time to kill. David should have been with the army fighting for Israel. But he had time on his hands, and that can be a dangerous thing. We can only stand in the Lord wearing the armour he provides. But before we consider the armour, let's consider the enemy of our souls. So who is the enemy and what are his strengths? Reconnaissance is one of the most important elements of warfare. Seen a few shots from Ukraine recently where the reporters followed them gaining reconnaissance. They're using drones these days, which thankfully, helpfully keeps people a little safer than they would have been if it had been people going into these places, but no doubt it happens. So knowing your enemy and taking time to learn as much as possible about the enemy before you meet him is a good thing. God's military intelligence aids our victory over sin. The devil possesses supernatural powers. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Paul writes. This is a personal battle, and it's against a foe who, Revelation 12:4, is capable of bringing down a third of the stars of heaven by a sweep of his tail. An enemy who's wounded great men and women of the faith in the past. His plan is to sift us like wheat and to devour us, Luke 22:31. The devil is capable of transforming himself into an apparent angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. He employs an organized strategy which is cosmic and spiritual. He's active in this present darkness. I don't know if you've ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, but that really gives you an insight into what's going on in the mind of the evil one and his attacks on believers. Satan hates God, and he hates all who love God. He hates our enjoyment of God. He's a deceiver, an accuser, a liar. In fact, he's the father of lies, and he's a blackmailer. There is only one way to stand against the spiritual forces of evil in order to win. Revelation 12, verse 11. They, that is the saints in glory, they conquered him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. These saints in glory exhibited unreserved faithfulness for Christ. As believers, we're soldiers enlisted in the King's army, the church militant. In Christ alone we stand. So what resources do we have for defence and victory? If we're to be victorious, not only do we need to know our enemy, but we need to know how the resources available to us work so that we can stand firm in our faith. It's not enough just to know about these resources. We need to know how to use them. Many of you know that, perhaps you don't actually, that my hobby is climbing and hill walking, which I have a real passion for. But I couldn't do my hobby. I know there's electronic things now, sat nav and all this stuff. But the best way to be safe out in the mountains of Scotland is to know, first of all, how to use a compass, and secondly, how to read a map. We need to know and use these two things in conjunction, not only in good visibility, when all the landmarks are visible, but also in bad visibility, in zero visibility. So providing you know where you are, quite literally. And in this case, the analogy would be that you have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, by taking an accurate compass bearing, you can get to where you would like to be. Knowing about the armour of God will not keep you safe from the devil's schemes. You need to know how to appropriate the armour's protection. In Ephesians 6, Paul is concerned for the Christian stability. Notice that the word stand appears four times in verses 11 to 14. Why is he concerned about the Christian stability? I believe it's because wobbly Christians, Christians who have no assurance of their faith in Christ, they've got no firm foothold and no assurance of their salvation, are easy prey for the devil. Paul desires that believers become strong and stable, that they're enabled to stand firm against the devil's schemes. The expression, the whole armour of God, came from the Greek word panoplia, which refers to the full armour of an heavily armed soldier. And I'll refer you again to those little handouts in the vestibule if you'd like to take one, so you can work through these pieces of armour on a daily basis, weekly basis. You can pray through them, which you might find helpful. God's armour is divine in nature. God himself, the Lord of hosts, is depicted as a warrior fighting to vindicate his people. He puts on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head. Isaiah 59:17. Still today, the armour and weapons are God's, but now he shares them with us. We're called to put on the armour, take up the weapons, and go to war against the powers of evil. And Paul details six pieces of a soldier's equipment, and we work through them very briefly with the children, but we'll do so in a little bit more detail for ourselves. The belt of truth, is usually made of leather, belonged to a soldier's underwear rather than his armour. It would have gathered up his tunic and would have held his sword. As he buckled it on, it would have given him a sense of hidden strength and confidence. So the belt of truth must be fastened on, verse 14. God looks for truth. He looks for integrity in our inner beings. Because without this, we're open to the blackmail of the devil. We're exposed to his ability to accuse us of hypocrisy. Only truth can dispel the devil's lies and set us free. If we resort to deceitfulness, I believe we play right into the devil's hands. He's an expert at deceit, but he hates transparent truth. The devil loves darkness. Light causes him to flee. For our spiritual and mental well-being, honesty about ourselves and with others is indispensable. We need to couple doctrinal truth with sincerity of heart. Integrity and honesty seem to be in short supply these days at all levels of society. The belt of truth must be fastened on. And the breastplate of righteousness must be worn at all times, verse 14. The breastplate covered the soldier's vital organs, particularly the heart and lungs, and protected him from a fatal wound. Paul makes an analogy with this and righteousness. When we come to faith in Jesus, we are covered by the imputed righteousness of Christ. We're justified, restored, and forgiven. When God looks at us, he sees us through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. I find that absolutely amazing. The Christian's righteousness is based on a right relationship with God through Christ. This righteousness is a strong breastplate to protect us from the accuser. The Christian's breastplate also refers to the righteousness of conduct and character, which helps us to withstand temptation. Pardon for past sins and integrity of character belong together in a justified life. Together they make an impenetrable piece of armour. The third piece, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As we already said, Roman legionnaires used to wear a half boot called a caliga. It left the toes free, had heavy studded soles, and was tight to the ankles and up to the shin with leather straps. These boots were good for long marches, but were also good for taking a solid stance. We need to have a strong foothold, a secure grounding in the Word of God, so that we can be of service in the spread of the gospel, rather than be an hindrance to it. A secure grounding in the gospel means that we're able to be and prepared to make a defense of the gospel to anyone who asks. 1 Peter 3:15. Peter writes, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame." We may be asked to move quickly, ready in and out of season to share the message of the gospel, 2 Timothy 4, 2. The more we understand of the gospel of peace, the more secure we will be and more enthusiastically will we communicate this message to others. 2 Corinthians 5, 14-21. I don't know about you, but I love to read the Bible. It's just a passion. And I hope it's yours. That you're soaked in the Word of God, that it's there in your heart and in your mind, so that you have this confidence. And then the shield of faith, with which to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Like I said before, the shield of the Roman soldier was like a door in proportion. It was covered with leather, many layers of wood. When the enemy fired showers of arrows towards the soldiers, they would raise their shields together and form a solid wall or unit of defence that protected their lives. We, as believers, have moments of doubt. Both John Bunyan and Charles Spurgeon describe times when they experienced onslaughts of unworthy thoughts coming at them uninvited. Others have described how the sudden memory of a past sin seems to have lit a match that was thrown onto dry tinder. Panic and guilt overwhelm the believer, causing us to lose our footing and doubt our salvation. And the devil seeks to sow seeds of doubt in order to obscure the love of our Heavenly Father. It is at these times that the shield of faith should be raised. And if you've got Christian friends, ask them to raise their shield with you and pray together on these occasions. Knowing the nature and grace of God, we know that nothing in us saves us. Only what Christ has done outside of us saves us. So we need to trust Jesus and Jesus alone for our salvation. His sacrifice was more than adequate. So don't be brought down by the devil sowing seeds that cause you to doubt. The helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. A head wound can be fatal. The helmet protects the mind of the believer. Assurance of our faith. One of the devil's ploys is to make us question whether or not we're saved. He attacks the mind. A Christian who would stand firm against Satan must develop a mind that is well furnished with the promises of God's word, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. And then the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. All the armour so far has been for our defence, not attack. There are times when the best form of defence is attack, And we're called not only to protect ourselves against the enemy, we're called to overcome the enemy. God's written word is inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. It is a sword which God still uses to cut through people's defences, to prick their consciences and to alert them to their spiritual condition. It's a weapon of evangelism. We have his precious word. We have it in our hands and we can resist temptation. Jesus resisted temptation whilst in the wilderness using some rather obscure Bible references when you actually look them up. But Jesus knew the word of God and was able to use it as the devil sought to tempt him. So God's word is sharper than any double-edged sword. And if we're going to use the weapon effectively, we must store up this word in our hearts and in our minds. We must get to know it thoroughly. So let's bring these thoughts together in a conclusion. God has furnished us with six pieces of armour. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, the shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And it's our responsibility to take up the armour, to put it on and to use it confidently against the powers of evil. Being careful to put it all on, because the devil and his minions can attack from every side. And then verse 18. And pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplications, make your requests to God. Verse 18 is not an afterthought by Paul. Prayer pervades the whole of this spiritual warfare. This is not a game. The battle has eternal consequences. Some years ago, I was involved in doing some training at a Christian event for workers in the Ukraine in what's known as Open Bible Scripture Union here. And the event took place at Vorzel, which is about 30 kilometres north of Kiev, which is a campsite, a permanent campsite. I don't know what's happened to it in these days. I know that the villagers of Vorzel were actually living in the site because it was a secure place after the attack in the spring of the year before this, wasn't it? So, but the timing of this seminar that I was given was 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Basically, people had already had 6 hours of teaching and activities, and it was very clear that they were ready for a nap. And I was teaching on some passages. I was teaching on the same passage that I'm speaking on this morning through a translator, which incidentally I found really enjoyable because it gives you time to think about what you're saying. The message we've shared this morning is of the utmost importance. I'm feeling attacked even as I'm sharing it, if I'm honest. And the second part of verse 18 leapt out of the page to me, where it says we need to be alert and awake. And everybody was dozing off. So I said we need to be alert and awake. And we do. We need to be alert and awake. Because this is not a game. This is not a game. Prayer is not seen as part of the armour of God, but it describes the manner in which the armour of God should be put on and worn. And we're going to sing, as we close today, Soldier of Christ Arise. And Charles Wesley writes, to keep your armour bright, attend with constant prayer. To keep your armour bright, attend with constant prayer. Prayer is foundational. We're to pray in the Spirit at all times and in all occasions, persevering, being watchful and awake. We are to pray for all the saints. We must never give up praying or fall asleep. It is in God's mighty power that we take our stand. We're exhorted to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The devil is ultimately a defeated foe. Another word of warning is, don't seek to blame everything on the devil. We have a part to play in this. We have a part in which we need to be making a stand against the temptations that come against us. But the devil is ultimately a defeated foe. The victory has been won on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. In his death and subsequent resurrection, that Jesus has overcome sin, death and the devil. And that deserves an hallelujah. So we need to have no fear if we know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do need to be aware and awake. God bless you. Amen.